From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made next Thursday night at Little One at the Little Theater. It's the launch of the High Falls Film Festival. It runs October 23rd through the 26th. 13 films, 4 shorts this year, and opening with a bang, you could say. You've got Virginia Madsen and her mother, Elaine, making a film, and Elaine Madsen's going to be in Rochester. We welcome right now the executive director of the film festival and one of the busiest women in Rochester. That's Mary Maynard Reed, but I hope most of the work is done by now. Mary, how are you?
Good, Evan, thanks. Some little details, but yeah, it's mostly locked in.
Most of it's in place. Now,
yes.
I know you're very excited to have Elaine Madsen. Virginia Madsen is an actress that our listeners certainly know, and we're going to have a conversation with her in just a moment. Her mother, Elaine, though, is sort of a star in her own right, isn't
absolutely,
she?
Absolutely. Poet, Emmy Award winner, a woman like that.
Yeah, she is a woman like that. We're going to explain what that means in just a moment. Now, Elaine directed this documentary called I Know a Woman Like That, and Virginia Madsen produced. If you're still going, I think I know the name Virginia Madsen, best known for her work in the movie Sideways. And look, I mean, my audience knows that I'm sort of a wine guy, so my favorite scene that Virginia Madsen's ever done is her explanation to Paul Giamatti's character in that film, why she loves wine. And if you have forgotten, let's listen to Virginia Madsen in Sideways.
I like to think about the life of wine.
Yeah.
How it's a living thing. I like to think about what was going on the year the grapes were growing. How the sun was shining. If it rained. I like to think about all the people who tended and picked the grapes. And if it's an old wine, how many of them must be dead by now? I like how wine continues to evolve. Like, if I opened a bottle of wine today, it would taste different than if I'd opened it on any other day. Because a bottle of wine is actually alive. And it's constantly evolving and gaining complexity. That is, until it peaks. And then it begins its steady, inevitable decline.
That's Virginia Madsen in Sideways, and in that scene, Paul Giamatti's character is just melting into the floor with love for her. She's good, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She is good, but now we get to see her as a producer.
Absolutely.
And producing with her mother, who directed, and the film is I Know a Woman Like That, and you're going to hear in the interview with Virginia Madsen exactly what that means, but let's play a clip from the trailer that gives you sort of a flavor as they talk to women who are a little bit older, talk about the sort of the wisdom and the grace and the excitement of aging.
Old to me means enriched, knowledgeable, beautiful, soulful. That's what old means to me.
I'll be 81, but I have to say, I never felt old.
A little while ago, you said something about this moment was one of the most wonderful moments of your life.
They said, you're a sex symbol. Oh, my goodness, am I? At the age of 80, I love every moment of it.
Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt, yeah, so good in this film. Mm-hmm. Why, this is probably a very easy choice for you. I mean, we're going to talk later this hour about how you make decisions about what films to bring in, but give me a sense for how this came onto the radar.
Actually, one of our board members is friends with Michael Madsen, Elaine's son and Virginia's brother, and he had told us about the film. And we had been working with them for several months, looking to bring in both Elaine and Virginia. Fortunately for Virginia, she had to back out because she has a be in Vancouver for a film. Unfortunately for us, she's not going to be able to be here, but it's exactly the type of movie that we're looking for.
And Elaine will be here.
Elaine will be here. Absolutely. It's directed and produced by a woman, and it really shows a woman's perspective about aging.
So next Thursday night, Elaine Madsen will be here as they launch the High Falls Film Festival 2014 at Little One at the Little Theater. I had a chance to talk to Virginia Madsen about what this film means to her and what it might mean for audiences of all ages. And so this is my conversation with Virginia Madsen. Let's start for our audience defining the title. A woman like what?
I'll tell you the genesis of that is that, you know, when I was discussing this idea with my mother, as we said in the film, we decided to spend 3 months talking to our friends, our family, strangers on the street, just anyone, to find out, you know, how they felt about much older women who are sort of living in this really inspiring and vibrant way. And what people kept saying over and over again when we described this type of woman, they would say, oh, I know a woman like that. You know, my neighbor's like that. She's always out in this big pink hat in the garden. She's 92. Or, oh, my grandma's like that. You know, she trains horses. And, you know, oh, and my auntie's like that. And she's always cooking. And, you know, just all these stories of women with sort of an indomitable spirit and a lust for life and a sense of curiosity and adventure. But they all kept saying, I know a woman like that. And I realized almost everybody knows a woman like that, a woman with a great spirit, a big heart, a passion for life and curiosity. And it's very inspiring. And now more than ever, you know, we have women that are, you know, as you know, living much longer than our great grandparents did. And everyone is inspired by them. You know, I want to be one of them when I grow up, you know.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you talked to your mom about doing this project. And initially, she was just too busy. And your reaction is, she's a woman like that.
And she, you know, was on her way to Holland because she was going to start writing this other book, which she did. And, you know, I just wanted to know what made my mother tick. I wanted to know why, you know, when I was on, you know, on a film location and my mother would just arrive, everyone would be like, who's that? Oh, that's Virginia's mom. She's amazing. And she was just always so comfortable with herself. And when I was growing up, you know, my mother would always have all the candles on the cake and she seemed to celebrate not just every decade, but every year with gratitude and appreciation and a zeal for life. And my sister is like that, and I think I'm like that. And I wanted to know what is it that makes her different than the other mom when I was growing up. And the other moms were, you know, if they were talking about their age, they were lying about their age. And women in general seem to be, you know, afraid or worried or troubled about the subject of aging, especially their own aging. And so that's really what my adventure was going to be, is finding out what my mother's made of and why.
Certainly the film looks at, I think in many ways, the glories of aging, the way women age, but obviously it's your perspective, so it's not a film about men aging, but do you think is there a difference in the way either men and women age or the expectations we have for men and women as we get older?
Interesting that you should mention that, because I thought it would be great to do a part two, I Know a Man Like That, because I do wonder, and we did discuss that with some of the men that were involved in this film, and oftentimes when we have men in the audience, they're almost always always have to get up and speak. They feel a kinship to these women. But I wonder if it were men, would their passion for life have more to do with their work? Would they be multitasking as much as the other women? Sort of, I wonder if the stereotypes that we, you know, the way we define the differences between men and women, do those stereotypes go away or do they become more compounded with age? So that's been an ongoing conversation, but it would be really interesting to explore, I think.
You don't have a sense for that yet? Those are fascinating questions.
There's a lot of, maybe perhaps it seems more surprising to us that these older women do not have a problem with aging. And I think we naturally think that men just don't have a problem with aging. As this conversation has continued, in many cases, I find that men are having a harder time with aging than women.
Yeah.
And we all sort of agree that men look great when they get old, you know, like a fine wine. you know. Women just age. But in fact, men's issue with aging can sometimes start as young as the women, you know, with the whole fear of turning 30 and all the same sort of milestones, you know, what does it mean when I turn 50 and I'm no longer a young man? I can't go spiking anymore. Will I look silly if I'm riding around on my Harley Davidson? And however, I will say that there's been a really awful label put on men called a middle age crisis, where, you know, they maybe start a second family, they get you know, the sports car the convertible that they always wanted, and they start dressing in a younger way. And I think for men are still kind of labeled like there's something wrong with them and aren't they silly for doing that. But in fact, they absolutely have the right idea. And what they're doing is they're, you know, some of the men I've talked to are feeling very free and less responsibility. Maybe their families are grown and it's not so much that they feel depressed and they're having a crisis as they're having a newfound freedom. So now I can afford that car that I always wanted when I was, you know, 18 years old. I'm going to get that car, damn it. You know, I mean, who cares what the rest of the world thinks? Yeah. I'm going to get that Harley that I always wanted, you know. And so I'm finding that these women in the documentary are sort of doing just that. They're grabbing life by the balls. It goes back to the idea that we are not aging the way we're quote, supposed to. People are finding such freedom, both on an emotional level and sort of freedom from having to look a certain way and act a certain way. You know, and we're not retiring. You know, people are not retiring at 65 anymore. That seems almost a ridiculous notion nowadays. So in my generation, women in their 50s, like, world is wide open to us now, whereas that used to be kind of the end of the road. And I don't know who decided that, but it's so antiquated now, it seems silly. So this film is also to speak to women in their my age and younger, to say, listen, this is what's ahead of you. You know, you don't have to look at the magazines and listen to the mainstream media, because this is the reality, you know, and it just keeps getting better.
Talking to Virginia Madsen, actor who was the producer on this film, Mama Lane.
She is the director, and she is, you know, because in thinking of just making her a subject of the film wasn't enough, because she, being a woman like that, she would have to be the one that would know what questions to ask.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be sharing the experience with the subject.
Absolutely. So Elaine Madsen and Virginia Madsen, the film is I Know a Woman Like That. It's coming to the High Falls Film Festival. And, you know, Virginia, I know you're certainly well aware that these film festivals are huge to independent films. And I'm curious to know, you and your mom are such tremendous names in the industry, but what does a film festival like this one in Rochester mean to you and your mom?
I always say that film festivals are the lifeblood of independent films. And just how a local community can come out and support filmmakers and writers and directors. And, you know, this is, it really comes from the heart. Everyone appreciates it so much. And for the people attending, you know, this might be the only time that you can see the film on the big screen the way the filmmaker intended. Certainly in making this film, we expected this film to have a nice, long life and finding our audiences on the internet, because that's where we're going to connect to the most people. We are going to have a small release, but it's going to be simultaneous on VOD and Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. So, because we want to reach as many as we possibly can. But it's very hard to sell a film. You know, I've been trying to sell this film for 5 years. You know, I ran into a lot of distributors that were dudes in their 30s and 40s. And they were like, what? This film's about old ladies? You know, and they're talking about sex? Oh! You know? And so, but for any film, for most films, it's very, very difficult to sell them. So having a film festival, in some cases, that's a marketplace, a big one, of course, being Sundance, you know, but there are film festivals of all sizes worldwide. You know, they just started a film festival in Kenya. It's not just because it's a marketplace, but it's also a place to gain your audience. and started word of mouth and to reach people. And, of course, film festival audiences are so generous and so exciting and so loyal. And so, you know, their word of mouth, you know, what happens at the High Falls Film Festival is an integral part of us getting our film out there. Everybody knows that there's a tremendous amount of support at the High Falls Film Festival. And those people and the women and men that will come and see the films there are, not only is it great emotional support for the filmmakers to see an audience watching your film, but to help get the word out and to start a word of mouth and to tweet it and Instagram and Facebook it and all that stuff. We need all that kind of support.
It's interesting that you bring up the idea that which gender might fear aging more. And I was struck in this film by the grace and wisdom on display, and I don't remember which woman was talking, said there was a comment essentially that I don't fear the passage of time, but I'm very cognizant not to waste it.
Yes.
And I don't know why I'm looking at this film and watching these amazing women, and I'm thinking, boy, I shouldn't wait till I'm their age to feel that way. And here I am surfing Twitter again when I could be reading or looking at art or spending more time with my family. That was a universal comment that I don't think you have to be the age of the women in the film to feel really connected to.
You're absolutely right. I think that, you know, that's why this, when we have younger audience members, they've been so, it's a real eye-opener for them because one shouldn't wait. You know, I mean, one of the things that the women, of course, have in common with my mother will say is that she has much more time behind her than she has ahead of her. And so she doesn't waste a single day. I don't know that we can really know how to do that when we're younger, but we have to try. We have to try not to waste the time we have. None of us know how much we have. And so, you know, you have to cherish the people that are in your life and the moments of joy and even the struggles. You know, all of our human experience should not be wasted on the trivial. Well, maybe a little trivial. You know, one can't be like...
It can't be a profound day every single day.
Yeah. I mean, we should be able to misbehave. I think that's part of the human experience. And it's part of the fun and the joy of living is to be naughty once in a while. And that's also another thing learning from them is that they do enjoy life. It's not just all serious. They have a great deal of joy in their lives. And that's an important thing to remember and to pay attention to as young people, as people in their middle ages to older, is that too often I think we forget about our joy. We forget about having zest for life and seizing the day. And you know, we get so busy with worry and with the you know, our work or our lack of work, and we get so wrapped up in that suddenly, you know, months or years have gone by, and we have to remember to be good to ourselves and to do what we love. And that's one of the greatest lessons that I learned from the women in the documentary. They do what they love. And if that's not your work, then whatever it is you do love doing, you must nurture that. You know, one of the things when I was raising my son, who's now 20, but when he was very little, and we went to see my grandmother, who was in a assisted living, and she couldn't walk anymore, and she was, you know, really sort of at the end of her days, and we went, and he saw a lot of really old people who had great, great physical challenges. And some of them mental challenges. And it was a little bit frightening for him because he was only 5 years old. And he didn't understand the lady who was all bent over. And, you know, he was kind of asking about old people. And I said, well, one of the things, the first thing you should always remember is that they know a lot of stuff. And they have great stories about another time. And he kind of, like, his whole face lit up. And he was like, really? They have stories? And I was like, yeah. You know, like, they have stories about, like, the first airplane. And,
yes,
and he
yes.
got so fascinated yeah. by my grandmother that we ended up spending, I think we spent about 5 hours, which is a long time for a 5-year-old, in an old people's home, for lack of a better term. And he just wanted to ask everybody what their story was. You know, do you have a story when you're growing up? And my grandma was telling him all about when they first got a phone. And this was remarkable. You know, we have to remember that as grown-ups, they know a lot more than we do. Ask them about their story. You know, ask them what their first job was. Ask them what was the first time you saw the world change. You know, ask them about, you know, space technology and the effect that had on them, and what kind of car, when you first learned to drive, what kind of car was it? You know, like really interesting things that, like things like cars and phones, you may think of as sort of mundane. But if you ask someone in their 80s about that, you're going to get a story, and it's going to be interesting. And we have to try not to remove ourselves from their stories.
Well, I could have listened to Eartha and Rita and Lauren all day. Love what you've done with this film. You had such interesting people in it. The film's called I Know a Woman Like That. Elaine Madsen, of course.
Oh, can I tell you one more brief story?
Oh, of course.
The lady that you mentioned, Lucille, who was our 95-year-old water skiing champion, she has since passed away, but she put up her skis. She decided to give up her skis, and she moved to Baja because she wanted to learn how to scuba dive at 96, which she did. And she lived in a little tiny bungalow with the help of her daughter, and she learned how to dive and snorkel before she passed away. I think she died when she was 99. Isn't that wonderful?
that is amazing. Doesn't do it justice. No, that is fabulous.
But I wanted to thank you so much for giving me the time to talk about this wonderful film. And I really hope that people come out not only to see our film, but to support the High Falls Film Festival. It's a great festival, and it's so important that everyone give it their support and go to the movies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The film festival is the 23rd through the 26th. We've got it run down online, showings at the Little Theater, the Dryden Theater, at the George Eastman House, and more. And you can go to highfallsfilmfestival.com. Elaine Madsen, of course, an Emmy-winning poet, playwright and producer, and the director of this film, and the actor Virginia Madsen, the producer. I Know a Woman Like That. Love the conversation, and congratulations on what you've done with this. Again, 5 years to sell it. I wouldn't have believed that's possible for people of your stature, but just shows you how tough the industry can be for thoughtful filmmaking. But congratulations, Virginia.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's Virginia Madsen joining us, and here in studio with me on Connections is Mary Maynard Reed, the executive director of the High Falls Film Festival. First of all, thoughts on Virginia Madsen talking about her film coming to the High Falls Film Festival?
She really hits a chord, because for most independent filmmakers, their films are never seen on a big screen. And that's the essence of what we're trying to do, is to find these great films, these great independent films, and to show them on the big screen and to bring the filmmakers in so that they can watch the audience react and then participate in a Q&A afterwards. So
it really is the format. She said in the interviews, that's the format that it's intended for. Nothing against getting something on Netflix or Hulu or all those things, but this is the format that it's created for, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the dream. And yes, it can be on Netflix, but there might be 20,000 other films on Netflix, and it won't get the attention. So we have these great audiences here who are so appreciative, and to get them to share that they've seen this movie, it starts to build some buzz.
By the way, 5 years for Virginia and Elaine Madsen to sell this film, to me, that was hard to believe.
It happens a lot, particularly when you're a woman, unfortunately.
Harder for women to sell.
Much harder. Much harder.
You know, I remember having a conversation with my former colleague Norma Holland's husband, Matt Mann, who works at the University of Rochester, is a very talented filmmaker. And his first film, bent over backwards, just trying to find festivals. And I'm thinking, this is fabulous. How does this not go everywhere? But that's, if it's hard for Virginia and Elaine Madsen, it's hard for everybody, I guess.
It is. We're a small festival. We received over 125 submissions, and each one of them has a story, you know, about why they made the film. And It's hard. It's hard to select just the few that are going to be in the festival because there's so much great work.
Well, I'm looking at the opening night of the High Falls Film Festival, which is next Thursday, October 23rd. And the first showing is, as we said, I Know a Woman Like That, Little One, the main theater at the Little Theater, at 6:15. Is that right?
That's correct.
6:15, followed by a Q&A and a discussion with Elaine Madsen.
Absolutely.
And then, interestingly enough, there is a second screening of I Know a Woman Like That at the Dryden the next day, next Friday. And then there's also something called Cyber Seniors. Tell me about Cyber Seniors.
Cyber Seniors is a delightful movie. It's a documentary made by a woman in Canada. And it's really the story of high school kids who go into a senior living facility and teach the seniors how to use the internet. And as you can imagine, you see a lot of, I'm too old to learn this, I could never learn this. And as they start to open up and find there's a whole new world, they're talking with their grandchildren on FaceTime, they're finding old friends on Facebook. And ultimately what happens is a little bit of a competitive spirit kicks in and they start making videos and they post those videos to YouTube and then they have a contest to see who can get the most likes. So it's really delightful to see an 89-year-old saying to a youngster, he's got more likes than me, I need to get more likes.
Yeah, so there you go. That's Cyber Seniors with a Q&A afterwards, and that one starts at 1:30 at the Dryden. Okay, so you're getting a sense for the schedule. We're going to take a short break and come right back, and we're going to hear some more clips from some of the films that are coming to the High Falls Film Festival. As we go down the list, they get ready for their premiere next Thursday as they launch the festival. Mary Maynard Reed is here, and some of your comments and questions as well coming up next on Member Supported Public Radio. Coming up in our second hour, we sit down with former U.S. Marshal Peter Lawrence. He is running for the Assembly against another member, a retired member of the law enforcement community, Gary Putup. We had Gary on last month. Peter's on in our second hour today. We're talking SAFE Act and why he differs so broadly with Gary Putup on that issue and so many more. Join us for the conversation next hour.
Opening this week at the Little Theater, Kill the Messenger is a dramatic thriller starring Jeremy Renner. Based on a remarkable true story, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Gary Webb stumbles onto a story tying together the CIA, Central American rebels, and the U.S. cocaine trade. Despite warnings from drug kingpins and the CIA alike, Webb keeps digging into the story, threatening not just his career, but also his life. See details for Kill the Messenger at thelittle.org.
Welcome back to Connections. Had a chance to hear the interview with Virginia Madsen, actress and producer of the film that's coming to the High Falls Film Festival, and Virginia's mom, Elaine Madsen, will be here next Thursday. But even before next Thursday night, every morning at the Strathallan during the time of the High Falls Film Festival, there's a coffee chat with directors. Mary, that's really very neat. Tell me about that.
It's a great opportunity for the public to come in, and it's a very informal opportunity to ask questions of directors. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning at the Strathallan from 9 to 11:30, we will feature different directors there to answer your questions and to talk about filmmaking or whatever it is you want to talk about.
You know, and free?
Free.
Free at the Strathallan. And the directors probably don't mind because if people don't come out, well, they'll just sit there and do some work and drink coffee.
Right.
But really, this is a great opportunity.
Right. Well, the directors love it because they love talking about their films. And sometimes for them, they like just the networking with other directors. If you're a filmmaker, that's pretty much your life, so you don't really have a lot of time to do a lot of networking.
I'm looking at the second day schedule, the Friday schedule, on next Friday, October 24th. And at Little One, starting at 6:15, is a film called Homestretch. And before we get to a brief clip from Homestretch, what's sort of the broad description of Homestretch?
Homestretch is the story of three Chicago teens who are homeless and alone, and it follows them and the challenges that they face and what they overcome and how committed they are to making their lives different.
You're going to hear in this clip from Homestretch one of the teenagers, and then you're going to hear someone working to help them, and toward the end of the clip, the woman actually starts to get emotional talking about the prospects. Let's listen to the clip from Homestretch.
I've been homeless for a while now, since I've been like 14. Going through several foster homes, you know, DCFS. was some abuse, you know, some sexual, some mental. You lose faith and you lose hope. And sometimes we go down the wrong path and we never get to see the light.
We have 6 freshmen, 8 sophomores, 4 juniors, and 11 seniors. Each name represents a story, and it represents a person who's going to be awesome someday. So, that's the list.
That's the clip from Homestretch, and you can tell that she knows as she's saying it. She said, they're going to be awesome someday, but she... The undercurrent is, you know, the alternative, that there is, and that's Chicago, but it, in some ways, it could be Rochester.
It could be anywhere. In fact, Elaine Spall from the Center for Youth will lead a discussion after the film talking about the homeless teen situation in Rochester.
And that parallel, yeah, I mean, it's frightening, but it's real. But give me a sense for why this fits for the High Falls Film Festival.
It was made by a couple women. And I think it's an important story to hear. So we wanted to be able to talk about it and to have the opportunity to further the conversation, to relate it to Rochester and how does this impact our community.
This seems like it would be one of the easier choices just because of that relatability to our community. Did it stand out when you're going through, what would you say, 125 films to make a decision on cutting it down to 13?
Yeah, it did stand out, definitely. And fortunately for us, Elaine Spall had seen it at another festival or another event, and she had mentioned it to us. And when we saw it, we knew it was a film that we wanted to show.
Before we get to another clip and more of the list here, give me that sense then, Mary, when you've got 125 films that want to be part of the High Falls Film Festival, you end up choosing 13 films, 4 shorts, which means more than 100 you have to say no to. And I imagine out of that 100 plus, there's still a lot of good films that don't get in.
There's a lot of great films that don't get in. And let me just clarify, the 4 shorts programs are about 10 or 11 short films each.
Okay.
And the first thing that we look at is the criteria that we ask the filmmakers for. Was it directed, executive produced, written, or filmed by a woman? That's our first criteria that we're looking at. And then secondly, we'll look at any films that have a woman in a strong leading role, or they talk about a woman's life experience. So that's the first filter that we have. Generally, most of them fit that filter. Sometimes they don't. And then we're looking immediately for production quality. If it's going to be shown on the big screen, it has to look good. And then we watch each of the films, and we do have a rating system, and sometimes we have to horse trade and say, well, maybe this one instead of that one. And we try to balance it out between documentaries and narrative films so that we get different perspectives.
And so even hearing Virginia Madsen, a longtime established actress, describe the thrill that she and her mother get for getting into these festivals after trying to sell a film for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get a thrill when you get to say yes? I mean, that's got to be a great
conversation. Oh, it's delightful to say yes, and it's really heartwarming to see the filmmaker watch the audience enjoy their film.
So you can see the schedule of events. High Falls Film Festival is online. Again, it launches next Thursday at Little One, and then they've got a schedule. The various venues are Little, the Dryden. What's the full slate?
Little One, Little Five, and the Dryden.
Okay, Little One, Little Five, and the Dryden. And just kind of going down the list here, Una Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Una Moore.
It's an Argentinian film. It's in Spanish with English subtitles. It's the story of 3 friends in high school, a girl and 2 boys who are best friends, and she kind of comes between them, and then she suddenly leaves. And 30 years later, she comes back, and one of them is divorced, and one of them is married. And it just talks about life and what happens with them.
And I'm also seeing there's going to be a craft brew party because
there's
a film called Crafting a Nation.
Absolutely.
A beer film.
Mm-hmm.
And the High Falls Film Festival. It's
yes.
Fabulous.
It's a documentary. It's the story of 2 brothers and the struggles that they have to create a craft brewery. And again, produced by a woman. What we really liked about it is it works for Rochester because Rochester is such a hotbed for craft brewing. And so our intent here is to show the movie, There'll be some dialogue with some local craft brewers and the filmmaker afterwards. And then we thought it would be natural to have a craft brew party.
And so I'm looking at the list here. Crafting a Nation shows at Little Five. No, it's at the Dryden. I'm sorry. It's at the Dryden Theater. And then you've got the craft brew party at the Century Club.
Yes.
I don't think I know. Do I know where the Century
it's
Club
right
is?
Right next to the Strathallan. You I probably pass it all the time.
And my apologies to the folks down at the Century. Yeah. That's neat.
It's a beautiful building.
So piece of cake location. And speaking of cake, there's Let Them Eat Cake.
Yes.
What's Let Them Eat Cake?
Let Them Eat Cake is a documentary. It's a filmmaker that we've had here before. It's really the story of the paradox between all the delicious sweets that are out there and the truth that many of the people who make them or grow the ingredients can't afford them or have never had a sweet. So it talks about how we enjoy them so much and how sometimes it can lead to obesity. It's just a really interesting story about different lifestyles and different opportunities.
We have a question online about whether there are children's films, and I'm seeing that on Saturday morning at the Dryden, there's the Children's Short Film Program.
Yes.
And it's free.
It's a free program. And we're excited about that. All the films have a gentle social message, you know, sharing is nice, be kind to one another and whatnot. One thing that's really interesting about this particular slate is there's a film that was made by children in an after-school program at school number 8 in the city. So we'll bring a little touch of home to that program.
Okay. And bottom line answer is... yeah, so that's great. Again, that's what time?
9:30
on Saturday morning. I'm looking down the schedule here. Okay, Lies I Told My Little Sister.
Mm-hmm.
What is Lies I Told My Little Sister?
Well, that's an interesting movie. It's really the story of a family, and there are three girls in this family. The protagonist is a globe-trotting nature photographer. The older sister dies from cancer. The younger sister and mother decides they have to have all the family together and this vacation. And the middle sister really doesn't want to do it. And she's in a bad spot because she tortured her little sister. Now, if you're an older, you might think about what you've done to your little sibling. You're adopted. You were born with a tail, all that kind of stuff. So it's a very dysfunctional family. And they come together and they start to learn about each other. So it's a family story.
And again, I should mention, everything I'm seeing has Q&A attached to it. Do any not have Q&A?
Some of them don't. Okay. Some of the filmmakers, like Una Moore, the filmmakers in Argentina, will not be here.
Okay, most of them I'm seeing do.
Yes.
And you can find, again, that schedule online. But if you haven't attended the Q&A, that just sort of offers, you got questions about the film, about some of the ideas. It's generally just a nice freewheeling discussion. Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a time to ask any kind of question you might want to ask the filmmaker.
Fly Low, Jack and the Game.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That is a film that was made in 1927 by a woman named Marion Gleason at the request of George Eastman. Marion's husband was George Eastman's personal organist, and he was friendly with Marion, and 35 millimeter was selling gangbusters, and George Eastman said, I want to make an amateur film, and I want it to be so easy it's like using a pencil. And he turned to Marion and said, would you make an amateur film for me? And she did. It's a 30-minute film shot in Rochester. The actors were all from the Rochester Community Players. It's a comedy. It cost about $1.35 to make, and excluding the film. And most of that was spent on confetti.
In 1927.
1927. It's been fully restored. Digitally remastered, and we're going to show that along with the music that you would be hearing if you were to see it in 1927. So it's kind of an experience, a movie from 1927, and then we're going to talk about the types of equipment that was available then, filmmaking, how they had to travel with turntables to get their music going, and have a Q&A about restoration.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you decide on this one for this year?
A local producer has been working on this, and he told us about this film. He said, I think I have the very first film, amateur film, made by a woman. And it was a fascinating story. They actually took this movie, they premiered it at the Dryden Theater. They took it all over the country. So it became an a sales tool for Eastman Kodak Company.
They did this at the time.
They did this at the time in
1920s.
16 millimeter film sales exploded.
So it was very effective.
It was very effective.
In other words, and it's 30 minutes long?
It's about 30 minutes long, yeah.
What did you, when you heard that this maybe the first ever amateur film made by a woman was out there, and then you saw it, where did it fall in the range of your expectations?
It was great. It was funny. It's silent, of course, because it's from the 1920s, but it was really good and very well done. And it's amazing to think there's some airplane stunts and things like that that we take for granted now because of visual effects, but there weren't any visual effects back then. So it's a great story. Actually, and I heard from Marion Gleason's granddaughter.
Wow.
And she's going to be at the film.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, very neat. Mary Maynard Reed is the executive director of the High Falls Film Festival, October 23rd through the 26th, as we go down some of the lists. Now, I was going to pull a clip from one of the films that I had a chance to see. I couldn't watch them all, unfortunately. Oh. but I couldn't even find a spot in the park bench to pull a clip because it was just that interestingly quirky. And for radio, it's harder to... Park Bench has some really interesting sort of visuals in it. Mm-hmm. But the best I could come up with was very quirky and interesting. Tell us about the Park Bench.
Well, the Park Bench is filmed by a woman, Anne Leschander, who's a Brockport native. She's living in L.A. now. She's very successful. She's coming to the film. She'll be talking about the film. It's a film that has live action and animation integrated together, but it's a really interesting story about an uptight graduate student who's studying to be a librarian. She starts tutoring kind of a quirky Latino guy, and they have nothing in common at first, and as they start to understand each other, they realize that they have a lot more in common. So it's a bit of a love story.
And a full-length film?
Yes.
Full-length film. It was different, and it was fun to watch the way it was put together. Mm-hmm. Very creative. Did it pop out to you and your group when you were deciding?
It did, and I actually got a letter from Anne, you know, just to kind of help raise it to the top. And we always love a local angle as long as it fits all the rest of our criteria. So this was just a home run.
What film are you closing the festival with?
Very Good Girls.
We do have a clip from that, and that includes a couple of, I guess, bigger name actresses. What's the Olsen's first name?
Elizabeth Olsen.
It's Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Elizabeth Olsen, Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Fanning, yeah.
Ellen Barkin, Richard Dreyfuss, Demi Moore.
Yes.
Peter Sarsgaard.
So just about as big as it gets. And this clip here, you're going to hear the girls describe, or the young women, I should say, describe the opening premise of the film as they are high school graduates with a dilemma. Let's listen.
I can't do it.
You can. The question is, will you?
No!
So, when do you head out for school?
Oh, that's right, Yale!
We're going to college, and we're still virgins.
We gotta get over this hump.
Hey. The ice cream guy on the beach.
You liked him, too.
Uh-oh. So at least from what I can tell, they are resolved to lose their virginity, and they unfortunately target the same guy.
Correct.
Oh boy.
Correct. And so it has as you can expect, an impact on their friendship.
And let me ask you this, Mary. With this kind of a premise, you could make a drama, you could make a goofy slapstick comedy. What did they choose to do with this film?
I would say it's more of a drama.
Yeah. And why did you choose it for the festival?
Well, I had seen that it had shown at Sundance and Tribeca, and I'm always looking for films with women directors. Naomi Foner Gyllenhaal is the director. It's her first time directing. She's been a producer and a writer and things like that. And I just thought it was an interesting film for the subject nature and in the different roles that are played. By Richard Dreyfuss and Demi Moore and things like that. And sometimes we need a little bit of star power so that people can go, oh, I'll go to that movie. For those that aren't film lovers, mm-hmm. they might say, I need a name.
And you have many names in this film.
Yes, yes.
But you also have the premise that, you know, if you're going to make a drama, you know, there's a lot to explore there. Friendship, mm-hmm. sort of the dangers of taking sex too lightly, the meaning of that kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. How'd they do in this film? What do you think?
I think it was very, very real, you know, and very touching. And in this particular film, we have, in many of our films, we have community partners. And for this film, we asked Planned Parenthood to be a community partner. So they'll say a few words before the film.
And the director is also here for this particular?
We're still working on it. Okay. She's working too, unfortunately.
Mary's loving when I put her on the spot.
Yeah,
and stuff
but we're
like that,
we're but. Hoping that she'll be able to break away and to come in for the film.
Okay. What have I missed here? Because we got a few more minutes. Mary, what have I missed in the High Falls Film Festival, which opens October 23rd? That is 9 days from now, with 13 films, 4 shorts programs. What have I missed here?
Well, we have another interesting documentary. It's in Italian, subtitled in English, and it's the story of women after World War II when Germany was occupying Italy up in the mountains. The women were the people that had to transport information and weapons and things like that. And as you can imagine, in a very male-dominated country, particularly at that time of year, it was not as well received as you might have expected. There's a story of three women. One of them talks about her fiance being very upset that she got arrested. and so she talks about how that what happened to her relationship from there. And it's really the story of courage and women who became soldiers at a time when they were needed.
And what's the name of that film?
We Weren't Given Anything for Free.
I'm looking also at, again, 4 different shorts programs.
Mm-hmm.
What is that experience like for people who haven't gone in? They're used to seeing one film.
Right.
What's that
right.
experience like?
Well, a short film is anything under 30 minutes. So we have pulled together 2 programs of about roughly 10 films each. And they're on a variety of different subjects. So you get to see filmmakers films that are short, you know, and as you know, if you try to be brief on anything, you really got to be good. You know, you don't have a lot of time to tell a story. So it's a really interesting challenge for the filmmaker, and we have some great films.
What's the shortest of the short films?
3 minutes, I think.
3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
You can tell a story in 3 minutes.
Believe it or not.
Sometimes those are the most fascinating mm-hmm, to see the choices mm-hmm. they make there,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We also have a program by the women at the School of Film and Animation from RIT. That they'll be showcasing their work. Many of them are graduate students or undergraduate students, so they'll be showcasing their work too.
See, it's such an interesting mix of big names, certainly names that you wouldn't know in the film industry, some local talent, some international talent.
Mm-hmm.
You really do seem to have it all. And I see on Sunday you have a couple of things on the itinerary. We'll close with this. Tell us a little bit about the plans for Best of the Fest documentary and Best of the Fest narrative.
Well, for all of our films, we have audience awards. So we ask the audience to rate the film, and then we collect all of those ratings and we come up with the documentary film that was the best liked by the audience and the narrative film that was best liked by the audience. And we kind of have an encore screening on Sunday.
And where is that?
That will be at Little One. The documentary will be at 3:30. The narrative film will be at 6 o'clock.
Have you seen all the films?
I have.
What are you going to do during this festival?
I'm going to watch the audience enjoy the films and watch the filmmakers.
That's such an interesting sort of way to do it.
Yeah.
To see their response.
Yeah.
To sort of gauge it, to see if it meets your expectations.
Right. Absolutely.
And then the directors probably, they probably love seeing what the audience is saying and reacting.
Absolutely. It's not always, it doesn't always happen, as Virginia mentioned. They don't always get that opportunity to show it on a big screen.
Did you find that this year's slate does have the mix that you're looking for? I assume, and I could be wrong about this, I assume you are looking for a mix of documentary, drama, some humor, some comedy, et cetera. Do you have that balance that you're looking for?
We do. We've got it all. There's a film called Little Accidents that's a little bit dark.
Did you want to explain why?
Strong
you had a couple of seconds
here. It's the story. It's set in West Virginia in a coal town, and there had been a mining disaster, and 10 of the miners had died and one did not die. And it really tells the story about how that one single incident impacts the lives of 3 different people from very different walks of life. I kind of liken it to Crash. if you remember Crash and all the impact of that was. So it's a really interesting story. It has Elizabeth Banks in it, Chloe Savini, and just interesting way to look at it in a small mining town, how they're so divided about what happened and what's the repercussions from this accident.
Interesting. See, you've given us a lot to chew on as we get ready for it. Thank you for taking the time to come in. Congratulations on the festival this year. Thanks for hooking us up with a conversation with Virginia Madsen. We really enjoyed that conversation. And you could tell just how much this festival and these festivals mean to her and her mom and filmmakers.
Absolutely.
We think of them as big stars, but when they're filmmakers doing films like this, they're anybody else who just wants their voice to be heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Have a great time starting next week. And you can find High Falls Film Festival online where?
HighFallsFilmFestival.com.
There you go. Short break, and we turn our attention to politics as we head for election season. That's next on Member-Supported Public Radio.